Welcome to the In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO podcast, featuring Marion Miner, CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information. Now, here's your host, David G.
Hello, everyone. David G here. Thanks for coming along for this episode. And joining us, of course, is the CEO herself, Marion Miner.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
EPG Brand Acceleration is a brand engagement and business growth accelerator, delivering media moments that move the needle and that create and excite brand fans. Marion and her company are in the business of growing adult beverage and power sports brands specifically with a wide range of media properties and strategic marketing services. But before we get into all that, let's first hear about how you came to EPG, Marion. A little bit of the backstory, if you would.
I got a psychology degree, but it was more along the lines of research. And, you know, at the time I decided to go into retail, which was only one of the few careers that were available to psych majors at that time. And it was actually a management training program. So it was very, very wonderful training in terms of general administration and business. And then I found my love of information as I started to work with retail information and joined an information company that was bought by Nielsen. And then throughout my career at Nielsen, I did consultative selling. I was an account director, which entailed doing analysis with clients on their businesses and got to know some of their businesses as well, and was invited to be in a joint venture with Nielsen and another company to focus on the beverage alcohol business. And when that joint venture dissolved, I was given the opportunity to buy the assets, which include media properties, and it also include information properties as well. So that was April 2002. And so 20 years later, you know, we're here not only with the beverage alcohol brands, but also with power sports and power equipment brands as well.
As successful as some of those brands have been, including a number of both B2B and B2C magazines and brand platforms, Marion was quick to recognize some years ago that she could no longer just be in the magazine publishing business.
Right, definitely. You know, and our business has changed as our communities consume content and want to experience content. And so magazines are a great foundation because they take wonderful stories, features, information, and we're combining it in the overall experience. But now not everyone reads magazines, or they may, but that's not their main source of information. You know, we've moved, certainly, we all know, to the internet, which brings websites, which brings now e-newsletters, and also just evolving into doing face-to-face interactions live. And it really, the evolution into information is key, because you take that strong foundation that you've built communities through the magazines, but what you have done is made the content, you know, much more available. And you've combined it with knowledge and data that we have in our relationships with those communities to help people with their decision-making, and then also just to get a greater experience with the brand, with the communities, with everyone that's in it.
Now, speaking of communities, as I alluded to earlier, you were ahead of many of your other media colleagues by developing and deploying new ways to build community around your brands, reach your audience, and engage. Continuing to still publish, and in some cases even still printing and mailing hard copies of magazines, but also deploying podcasts, webinars, e-blasts, conferences, and on and on and on. I know I've heard you say the pandemic didn't change the path you and the company were on. It merely accelerated it.
Definitely. The pandemic, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And when the pandemic happened and we were mailing magazines to organizations and also individuals, that was quite, in some cases, people weren't going to their offices, they weren't going to their businesses. And from a consumer standpoint, you know, there was a lot of upheaval going on as well. And so we just recognize the opportunity to still have people relate to each other, but to do it on the digital platforms that we already built.
And in nearly every single case, you did build on your pre-pandemic audiences, worth noting for sure. During some of the initial shutdowns particularly, I know people were hungry for industry news. They wanted to know what was going on in their business, and they turned to your titles to find out. Certainly not the way we'd like to get lift for our business, but it happened. And what also happened, though, is that you not only increased the page views and subscribers and engagement and the like, but by and large, you since kept that audience post-pandemic. And that's certainly something to be proud of as well.
Definitely. Definitely. We found that those relationships that we made stronger 2020 has been and still is, you know, the reasons for our growth and success is that we never shy away from, you know, the relationships that we've built regardless of the environment out there. And that's very similar to how the associates in the company too as well, is just that oftentimes people buy a business and want to put their own mark on it. But in this case, I felt these relationships, which in some cases are 25 years along, and I'm just an owner of some of these brands just for 20 years, but they've gone on, you know, longer and longer, and we have a lot of people who've stayed with their brands, that we've just felt that having different perspectives and skills and experience, which a multi-generational, experience wherever you are in your career has been real critical to us to make it through the pandemic.
Make it through the pandemic. Let's parse that a bit more, Marion, because you not only wanted to survive a challenging time and make it through, as you say, but you wanted to thrive, to get better, to grow. Where does that drive or that desire to build things up come from, do you think?
This drive, it's really hard to explain, but I think part of it is the fact that a young woman growing up in the 60s and the 70s entered the business world in the 80s, and there were not a lot of role models in that regard. So you really had to draw upon your own interest to be successful. And it was always that, whether it was to be the captain of a sports team, if it was to be a part of a local sorority, if it was being on a board, if it was joining, when Nielsen bought the company I was part of, I started at the bottom, or I was a junior person. And in order to make my way along and be successful, you know, I had to pay my dues, but I embraced risk, looked for niches to build out and develop where my interests were. And it just happened to be in produce and beverage alcohol, which are really hard categories to work with because they're heavily regulated, or it's hard at that time, hard to put a barcode on a piece of produce and things. And also just look at changing, you know, using change to work with my endeavors. So it was really very being non-traditional because I grew up non-traditional. And that helped me build confidence, which kind of drives me today. But you just kind of have to move forward. So I think that you again, that drive is there. You make the opportunities. You try to, you know, go around the obstacles, because sometimes it doesn't work to just go through the obstacles overall. But I think what I've come to right now and is, how do we work with, and this is one of the things that, EPG is all about, is how can we get the conversation going to encourage emerging leaders, encouraging diverse thought, and for those that are in management today, and, you know, we'll speak, a lot of it is said, you know, white, male dominated, how can we show them, help them come up with a way to interact with diverse groups? Because I think it's a two-way street, really. It's not one way. If you accept it and say there's a glass ceiling and you complain about it without trying to make the change, then, I mean, that's just not going to affect change if you approach it that way. And I just really think that that's what it is. I think a lot of things that are going on right now are because we haven't been able to get to a point, whatever community we're talking about, whether it's diverse community, whether it's gender, whether it's anything, to get to a point where we can talk to each other and listen to each other.
Well, Marion, the dynamic of talking to each other and listening to each other certainly changed quite dramatically as the workplace has changed through working remotely and a myriad of other ways, including, as you already mentioned, multiple generations in the workforce, which EPG has been dealing with for some time. Specifically, how has the pandemic changed your company's workplace, do you think?
The value I placed on knowledge was, you know, premium, especially at the beginning part, and then into probably up until, you know, 2 to 3 years ago, and probably the pandemic brought it on too as well, is, you know, is embracing, let's say, some new thought coming out of our college graduates that come with really a brand new skill set and everything. And that then taking that match of what different perspective and matching that with, you know, the experience and the skills to grow in both directions. And there are some of those that have joined us. You know, we look at it as more we're training them perhaps, you know, to do a particular career or giving them exposure to it. There are some that choose to move on in this as their chosen career and everything, and that, you know, we're working with them to get the greater, you know, to take greater leadership positions and things, you know, throughout the company, so that there really is a journey, or, you know, people are moving along. The company is going through its life stages, I guess is the best way to put it. And that's just something that was really current, because the fact that digital and new ways of communicating, which is very different than a lot of us started out with, we are all technically savvy, probably maybe not as strong on a social media aspect because we didn't grow up that way and everything. And to combine all of those things together, I think, is what the magic is. And that's really been just a decision, a thought, whatever, that has just occurred recently.
As that has occurred, what has been the biggest challenge in a transition from the old traditional kind of single channel delivery with a print magazine and some static ads to this omnichannel digital interactive environment where you treat content as an experience?
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges was to change a mindset, and not only within the company, but also with marketers in, you know, particular, and some of our clients too as well, is that we had one sort of relationship, and now in order to get benefits, you know, out of that relationship, it's adopting new things. And so it was an internal, but also an external, because a lot of change is driven externally overall. So that's one of the big things. I think we don't want to get so involved in going by just the numbers. There still needs to be, going back to my old retail days, a merchant inside us or a marketer inside us that is going to look at each of the markets that we are in or the communities in the industry and think about how best to serve them. Consumers are different than the trade, and there are different things that they pay attention to, you know, LinkedIn perhaps versus Instagram or TikTok or, you know, on the consumer side and everything. So we don't want to go so far to go by the numbers. There is something to being out there in the marketplace in a lot of different platforms, in a lot of different ways, that's going to say, you know, engage experientially with that customer, you know, whether it be the businesses that we work with or the businesses trying to go with the consumers themselves. And it just thinking one thing is going to do it or doing it by the numbers is selling it short, and you're not going to get the best, you know, out of that if you're approaching business by numbers only.
There should be a merchant and a marketer inside all of us. I love that. And being a storyteller myself and not really a numbers person, I also appreciate your advice to remember to look beyond the numbers, although those certainly can tell important stories as well. Now, at the very outset, I mentioned that EPG Brand Acceleration is in the business of creating brand fans. I think a great way to close would be to explain just exactly what you mean by that.
Well, we like to say that, you know, EPG Brand Acceleration is by brand fans for brand fans. Mm-hmm. And so all of the associates within the company have a passion for the marketplaces or for other things, whether they be creative, whether they be audio, video, you know, presentations of information, content, everything, that they're fans of their own brands. And that is really important to be attracting other brand fans, because they are talking to someone who knows what is happening in their communities overall. And, you know, I'd like to end to say that that is really our secret sauce, I think, at the end of the day. And why we're focusing on some very particular brands where we have that equity, where we have that relationship, and where we have that passionate culture to be able to achieve that.
Well, you have achieved a lot, and I certainly look forward to hearing more and mining more of that journey, as it were, with Marion Miner, CEO of EPG Brand Acceleration and EPG Specialty Information, in future podcasts. Thanks, Marion.
Thank you, David.
And thank you as well. I'm your host, David G. We'll see you next time. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of In My Experience, Perspectives of a Woman CEO. We'd love to hear your feedback or ideas for future episodes. And we always appreciate a like or a share as well.